This podcast is brought to you by Church of Living Waters. Find out more information at colw.info. We hope you enjoy this week's message.
We're going to leave the children in because there's some other things that we're going to do. So parents, hold on to them tightly. Amen. You have your Bibles. Let's turn just quickly. Going to be looking at some scripture in Luke chapter 12, verse 54. Put your finger there, and we're also going to turn to John chapter 10, verse 3 through 5. I'm going to just speak for about 15 minutes, and I want to dedicate this message to a few people and really more people, because we believe that Church Living Waters is full of ministers. We believe that this house is going to overflow and send so many people out to different locations to multiply the Word of God. So I want to speak this into Blake and Crystal, Daryl and his bride. I want to speak it into Wes and Jennifer. I want to speak it into me and Amila. I want to speak it into you if you're leading. I want to speak it into Philip. I want to speak it into Brother Rudy and Brenda. I want to speak this word just a few minutes. And it's a word that my dad spoke into me, and I take it as a privilege. Dad, being a minister for many, many years, gained a lot of knowledge. His first church, he went into a church and he preached a message, and at the end of the message, they voted if they were going to take him or not. And the church had seven people there, and the vote was four for my father and three against him. And they even let him see the names of the votes. So it was pretty something. He started off this ministry with a divided church, 4-3. And I praise God, though, that him and my mom grabbed hands and they looked to the Father, and they were not consumed or concerned about people's thoughts. They were consumed about God's thoughts.
Amen.
The effectiveness of our leadership. And I believe there's many leaders in the house today. And then, you know, I stand here speaking this to you as leaders, but also I am the leader of this house, and I don't take it lightly. I believe that I'm leading from the bottom up. I believe that as you succeed, I succeed in Reuben. I believe that if me and you fall down in a hole, it's going to have to be a big hole, because I'm going to be there with you, you know. Brother, I'm going to lift you up, push you up, get you out of that hole, and I believe, brother, you're going to reach down and pull me back out. But it's my responsibility to push you up and get you out of there. It's my responsibility to lead. And the effectiveness of our leadership will be determined by our ability to relate to others. The effectiveness of you leading with the things of God, leading people, is always the ability of how you're going to relate to other people. I praise God my dad spoke this into me. Because me being a pastor is not about me. Me being a pastor is not about me, not about what I can get, not what I want. It's about others.
Amen.
It's about leading others. And the effectiveness of me being a leader, it's about you. So I stand in front of you, going to speak for 15 minutes into these, but I can be judged by you, because these words that I'm speaking, I need to be living.
Right.
Come on. I'm not here just to talk. I'm here to live these words that were spoken into me by my Father.
Amen.
Jesus was a relational leader. If anyone did not need to be relational and he needed just to have a title, he was the Son of God. He didn't have to be relational if he didn't want to, because he had the title. He was God. But if anyone was relational, it was the Son of God, which is God, Jesus. Very relational, a very relational leader. Of John chapter 3, if you have that, let's turn there. It gives us a biblical understanding of Jesus. John chapter 10, sorry. Starting with verse 3. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. And when he brings them out, his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, and they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of a stranger. Well, let's just speak just a few things. This gives us a biblical understanding of relational leadership. If anyone could have led with position, his name was Jesus. If you are in a ministry, you know people that are leading because they are the pastor, and you're going to listen to me because God has put me here, and I'm this person over you, and they're not leading you relational, saying, hey, I'm standing in front of you, and God is on top of me, and I stand very humbly speaking into you right now because I'm shaking in the fear of the Lord, that what I'm going to speak into you is from God, and it has nothing to do about me. Come on. If I could just loosely just come and say, thou sayest God into your life, and not take it very seriously, what God is speaking relationally to what he's saying in you, then I need to be really careful with the things of God. Learn how to relate with others. There are three components of relational leadership in this scripture passage. The first is that the shepherd knows his sheep intimately. I see sometimes, and I'm not against these type of ministries, where the pastor comes out of the door, he comes out after a couple of songs, and someone has his Bible, and they're carrying it for him, and he comes and makes his entrance and sits down. Now, I know we're a small church, but I don't need anybody to carry my Bible. Come on, I can carry my own. Come on, you need to carry yours.
Amen.
I praise God for Holy Scriptures. Praise God, they're set apart for to instruct. There's great knowledge. And this is my Bible, and I can carry it. Come on. You have to be careful with position, with I am this. Because if we feel that we're this, we're very close to be able to maybe be falling. See, I have people in this body that if something happens and I stumble, that I can pick up the phone and say, this is where I'm at. Come on. I'm a man. I'm in relationship with you. I'm accountable not only in front of you, but with brothers and sisters that are connected to the hip with me. Amen?
Amen.
It shouldn't be that if I fall, that everybody falls.
Right.
It should be that if I fall, that the church rises up and they come after me. Come on. It's not my intentions to fall. I praise God for decorations, but I'm going to trip all over them today. The sheep know his voice, and he knows their names. He is personally acquainted with each one of them. I don't need someone to come, stand by me, and you talk to them, and then they'll talk to me. I can talk to you. It doesn't need to come through channels to get to me. I'm here. I'm here before, I'm here after, I'm here every day. If you have something to tell me, I want to listen to it. A relational leader is what God is calling in this hour. Relationship is what it is. The shepherd not only knows the name of his sheep, but his sheep trust him. They hear his voice and they come to him, but they will run from a stranger. From this, we can learn that leaders must be worthy of their followers' trust. You know, trust is something that people just say, well, I think I trust you. Come on. And trust only comes through relationship. Trust only comes through knowing the heart of someone. And all of that only comes by breaking bread with each other, by getting to know each other. But I want to be a leader that people trust. I want to be a leader that I'm leading you as God's people, and I want you to trust me. I don't want to just say it. I want to show you. Amen. Be careful with the ones that are just saying it. Trust me. You trust me. No. Let's come together and let's see what God has to say. Amen. The third component is that relationships are modeled. The shepherd walks ahead of his sheep and they follow him. That's what being a pastor is so difficult. And I don't like to dwell on the difficultness of it because God's called me to be a pastor. Because the things that are being preached from this pulpit have to be being lived out, or the words just fall down to the ground. That if this is not my life, part of my life, or something I'm pursuing or going heavily after, then they're just words that just go to the ground. But as a leader speaks out of his own heart, out of his own mistakes, out of his own knowledge and desire to serve, and you able to recognize that, then the words come in and they come in very strong.
modeled. I believe that I'm the first one that should be on the ground and I'm the last one that should be there. Amen? I also believe that there's places for the body of Christ. So, you know, right after this church service, we have to pick up all the chairs. You're not going to see me picking up all the chairs. It's not that I can't pick them up. It's that we have other people to pick them up. Amen? It's not that I'm too good to pick them up. Let me tell you this. In this ministry, I picked up these chairs so many times, I have them named. I know them by name. So praise God. Amen? Cultivating good relationships. John 10 reveals three things as we read to cultivate relationships. Know them. So Blake and Crystal, as you cultivate relationships, God's wanting you to know them. As you lead and as you're going to be sent out of this ministry, God wants you to know who you're going to be leading. Philip and Rosemary, God wants you to know them by name, to know them, to grow them, and to show them. Amen? Pretty simple. To know them, to grow them, and to show them. And in those three things, if you're doing what God's called you to do, you'll see everybody around you grow. Amen? Amen? Relationships start with knowing, continual with growing, and it climaxes with showing. Know them. Jesus called his sheep by name. Grow them. They heard his voice and they came to him. Show them. Jesus walked ahead of his sheep and they followed him. As a leader, God is speaking very clearly with the leadership of Jesus himself of how we're supposed to lead. I believe that everybody in this room is a leader. See, if I'm not leading this church, guess what? I'm leading my family. And I'm not just telling my family what to do. You do this, you do that. No, God has called me to lead them, to grow them, and to show them, and to allow them to be part of what God is doing. Amen? You know, it blessed me today. It blesses me every week to see my kids. And, I know that they're pastor's kids. I know that they're not perfect. But I'm thankful that my kids have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Amen. And they're going to make mistakes in this life. You're going to see some of them. But in their hearts, they know who Jesus is. And they don't want to just halfway serve him. They want to passionately serve him. And the only way that that's been able to be put in them is by me and my wife in front of them, demonstrating to them the heart that God has for us. Come on. Don't miss out by doing it with others and not doing it in your own families. Amen? Amen. So let me move on here. So to know them, we have to acknowledge the greatest thing that we need to know as leaders, and I know this, I hope that you know that I know this, is that I have to acknowledge the need for other people. I'm not here to lead by myself. I'm here to know that I need you to lead. Acknowledge the need. For your relationships to be cultivated effectively, you have to admit that you need other people in your life. God called you and he called you to a specific purpose and a specific plan, but I have to understand and know that I need other people to accomplish what God's called me to accomplish. He just didn't do it where it's just me and it's me alone. It's me and it's a group of people around me, and in that group, God is going to effectively help me lead his people. Amen? So God has a purpose and a calling on everybody's life. But I'm here to tell you, you have to acknowledge that you need other people. Don't be so needy, but know that God's going to place other people in your life. See, I could just passionately lead this church, but I have to know that God has given me my bride. I have to know that my bride is one with me and that we're leading together. I have to know that I need her in leading this ministry. Amen? We have to understand that. We have to also believe in the value of others. A great man shows his greatness by the way he treats the little man. You know, I hope that you know this, that it doesn't matter really who you are, what color you are, what color you aren't, the money you have, the money you don't have, that me as a leader needs to reach out to you exactly the same as I reach out to someone else. Come on. It's amazing with finance. Because finance, God asks us all to give the same. Now, I understand zeros and I understand these things. So if you have more zeros in your paycheck, God asks you to give more. But it's the same because it's a tenth. God equals out. And you know, he shines on the people that give the little. Because to the little, it's more even. The lady that gave the 2 pence, he says very clearly that when the gospel's preached, she will be mentioned because she gave all that she had. So, you know, as a leader, it's important to reach out to people exactly the same. Not to reach out to the ones. We go to orphanages, and I take a lot of people to orphanages. And the first thing, if you don't really speak into them, the youth or the people, they run to what? The cute little kids. Oh, this one's the cute one. He's the one smiling at me. And some of the kids get left out. They're way in the back, and no one goes to them because maybe something's wrong with them. But see, God wants us to run to those first. As we treat those first, the other ones will get what they're treated. God wants us to go like that. As leaders, he wants us to not see levels of things. Sometimes a leader will pick ones that have great gifts. I don't think Jesus picked disciples because they had great gifts. He walked out and said, you, follow me. Hey, you and you, come on, follow me. And the only thing that they needed to have was availability. They had to drop everything, and they had to say, yes, I will follow you. God is not looking for great gifts. He's given you gifts. And the gifts that he's given you is mighty. And they're enough. All he wants from you is availability. Yes, I'll use your gifts. God does not want me as a leader or us as leaders to pick out the ones that have the gifts that we are notified, that we see. You know, I remember Philip as a young boy, and he was on a mission trip with us. He was in the back just kind of singing, and I thought, man, that sounds like an angel singing back there. And you know, Philip never told us, we were his youth pastor for years, that he was able to sing. And we just heard him, and just very quickly, Philip, you need to sing for God. Amen. There's so many gifts in this body that we have no clue, that we don't even know about. There's people here that know how to play the drums. We need drummers. Come on. There's people here that have gifts to do this. The body is in need for you. Because everything that's needed is in the body. Amen? So God does not want us to look at the ones that sing the best or the ones that look the best or the ones. He wants us to look at everyone as his son, as his daughter, and say, in you, God has placed gifts in you, and God is going to use me to help you pull those gifts out because they're all good. Amen? Amen. Let me wrap this up. The value you place on people determines whether you are a motivator or a manipulator of men. Motivation is moving together for mutual advancement. It's all of us moving together because it benefits all of us. Everybody wins with a motivator. A manipulation is moving together for the advancement of the leader. With the manipulator, only the leader wins. We have to concentrate on people, not programs. The only thing that God will ever rescue from this planet are his people. Nothing else is going to get rescued. God wants us to put all of our focus in his people. If you want a ministry of greatness, because God is there, you must build the lives of other people. Changing programs won't establish this type of ministry. Changing people will. Some of the most miserable people I know are program changers. Oh, we have to do this program now, and let's move to this program. And they're not identifying the people and building people and moving into people. And God wants us all about people. It's all about you. It's all about me. God wants us to lead and lead his people. Amen? The happiest people I know are people that are building other people. We have to concentrate on people. So you can do it in all kinds of levels with children. You must concentrate on every one of those children because every one of them are from God. We have to focus on every young person because God did not make anything that was not in his own image. It doesn't matter what they look like. It doesn't matter. I remember having a young person that had the worst breath I ever smelled. And what I had to do is when he came up and I was talking to him, I had to hold my breath. I just had to go. and love him with his bad breath. And then there was great relationship where I was able to speak to him about picking up the toothbrush and putting toothpaste on it. Come on. But I was not going to break a relationship by hurting him. I was going to endure, come on, and love him for just who he is, because he's God's. And he needed the knowledge. Come on. Amen. Amen. One more thing. People going through hard times have deeply felt needs that you can reach out to meet. See, there's no way, me being a pastor, that I can be available to everybody at all times. But there are times when I'm hearing God and God says, go now. And those times that he tells me to go now are so important times to be there, that the other times that I'm not able to come, this means the most to them. Come on. God wants our relationship to be able to stop everything if he says, now, go. If I'm too busy to say, God, no, I can't do it, then I don't qualify to be a leader that he's called me to be. If he says, go, I go. Because he knows his people and he knows what the people are needed. Come on. I just want to speak into you, because from this fiery pulpit that we've been leading in, it's all about God's people. It's all about them. It's about every one of them are important. And I don't want to bruise or to hurt anybody that's from God. And in leading, we have to understand and we have to know that it's very important to encourage God's people. Right where they are, to encourage them. Right where they are, to encourage them.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray you were encouraged and would love to hear from you. For more information on Church of Living Waters, check out col.info.